Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome everyone to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm Deacon Al. I'm a permanent deacon here in the Peoria Diocese, and glad to be with you again. A lot of things to talk about. We'll eventually get to the readings from this Sunday's Mass, the fifth Sunday of Lent, as we close in on Easter very, very quickly. Boy, it's just coming up so fast. How about the weather? Let's talk about that. Has this weather been incredible?
Beautiful.
Just beautiful this week. In fact, I was telling my wife, we were out for a walk, and she said, "Can you believe this weather? It's just March." And I said, "Yeah, it feels like it's like mid-February." We've been so blessed. This has been like the easiest winter we've ever had. I haven't even fired up the snowblower once. It's sitting right by the garage door, ready to go.
Wow.
And I'm ready to mow. I mean, my lawn is ready to be cut down. So just an incredible winter and hopefully a really, really nice spring. And I love this time of year, seeing my gardens bursting out of the ground. And I have bird feeders full of birds and just had a group of robins, not just one. I did have one coming visiting for a couple weeks. But now I have like six, seven robins at a time in my yard and in the bird bath. And spring is here. If the robins show up, we're good to go. And like I say, so many of my flowers are already – I have some in bloom already. My Lenten rose has bloomed out today, and the daffodils are flowering, and hostas coming up, and daylilies are already almost a foot tall. So things are happening. It's nice to see things growing. Hey, I wanted to congratulate the men who are now new Cursiestas. They just completed their Cursio weekend and are actively living out their fourth day. Congratulations, guys. We had a wonderful weekend with you. It was a great group of men from parishes all over the area. Just want to remind you, we have a women's Cursio coming up in June, the second week of June. So we're taking applications right now. So if you go to our website at BN, as in Bloomington Normal, Cursio, CURSILLO, bncursio.org, you can see our website. And on the very first page there, you can go and download a fact sheet to tell you all about our Cursio weekends. And there's also an application there that you can fill out. And if you don't know someone who's been to Cursio and you need a sponsor, you can always contact me here at the radio station and we'll find a sponsor for you. So this is open to any active Christian. It really doesn't, and you don't even have to be active, actually. This is a weekend to get you introduced to being a disciple of Christ. It's a short, Cursio actually means short course. It's a short course on Christianity. We start on a Thursday evening and we disband on a Sunday evening. And in the meantime, we give you tremendous talks from both laity and also from the clergy. There'll be 15 talks, in fact. We entertain you. We feed you. We put you up at a hotel for three nights. And the entire cost is $110. I mean, three nights at Holiday Inn Express for $110. That alone is a deal. So get away from work and the hecticness of life. And put yourself in the hands of the Holy Spirit for 72 hours. You'll have a fabulous time. I'll tell you, in the Peoria Diocese, we've had over 50,000 men and women go through Cursio. It's a tremendous program, and I highly recommend it. If you're 21 years of age or older, even if you're not currently a member of a Christian church, but just interested in deepening your faith or revitalizing it, we invite you to Cursio. And we're one of only two Cursios in the country that's non-denominational. It's operated by the Catholic Church, but we've had people, every course we have people from Protestant churches all over the area, all different walks. We've got evangelicals, we've got Baptists, we have Lutherans, Independents. And so we welcome all Christians to come to Cursio, because what we talk about isn't specifically Catholic. It's specifically Christian, and it's specifically about the Holy Spirit becoming active in your life. So please look at our website, bncursio.org, and get signed up for that. Maybe you've got some events going on in your parish or your diocese that you would like us to talk about here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We invite you to contact us. You can do that through our website at catholicspiritradio.org, or you can call us on the phone, send us an email, a text, whatever, and get your event registered. We'd be happy to talk about it. I am going to do a shameless plug for one event today that I know of that's coming up next weekend on the Saturday, the 23rd, that just to me sounds like a tremendous thing to attend. I hope to be there. If you grew up in the Chicago area, as I did, during the high point of rock and roll radio in Chicago, you know names like, oh, Tommy Edwards and Larry Lujack and John Records Landecker, Clark Weber, a lot of names that come out of Chicago. Jonathan Brandmeier, right? But how about, you remember Kev Matthews? If you're a Kev head, if you listen to The Loop, you know about Kevin Matthews. Kevin's going to be here at Holy Trinity Church Saturday the 23rd. We're going to have a free meal, starts at 11, and then we're going to have a presentation from Kev Matthews. Now, if you listen to Kev on the radio, you know that when he wasn't on the air, he spent most of his time in bars and strip clubs. I mean, that was Kevin, and he talked about it. He was irreverent. He was hysterical. He was outrageous. And he has since found Christ in his life through a broken statue of Mary that he found one night in a dumpster in Chicago. And that broken statue changed his life. And how it changed his life and what he's done with it since then, you can hear about from Kev in person next Saturday, the 23rd. Or you can also read his book, Broken Mary. And there's some YouTube videos that he's got out there talking about the Broken Mary ministry. And so if you just go to YouTube and you enter Broken Mary, Kev Matthews, it will come up. And I think there's three or four videos. It's a fascinating story. And I'm anxious to hear it from him in person. He's going to be autographing his book, Broken Mary. And that's going to take place at downtown Bloomington, Holy Trinity Church, Saturday, March 23rd. So this coming weekend, there's no cost to it. We do ask that you go online to the Holy Trinity website, which is hsp-ht.org. So that's Historic St. Patrick's-Holy Trinity. They're in linked parishes. And right on the front page, you'll see the sign up. And again, there's no cost, but we do need to know how many people are coming so that they can have enough food for everybody at the meal. But I think this, go watch this video on the Broken Mary. It will touch your heart. And I'm really anxious to hear the story from Kev Matthews himself. So we hope you'll join us for that. And as I say, if you've got something special going on in your parish, whether you're in the Joliet Diocese or the Rockford Diocese or Springfield or Peoria, wherever you are, we'll be happy to promote that event on Catholic Spirit Radio, on air, and on our website. Get as many people out as we can. There's some great ministries, some great evangelization programs available in all of our dioceses, and we want to promote those. We want people to be on fire for the word of Christ, and we'll do whatever we can to help you in your ministries because you have been so gracious in helping us in our ministries. Speaking of which, we have coming up before too long, I think right after Easter, the week after Holy Week, we're going to have one of our carathons. We only turn to you a couple times a year and ask for your support, both in prayer and financially, to keep this ministry alive and growing, which is the really important part. We're getting ready. We're really close to another antenna, right, John? Mm-hmm. We're just on the cusp. So hopefully this upcoming carathon will give us the resources we need to open up our broadcast area even larger. It's very, very exciting time to see this grow. And I think it's coming at a time where we are all seeing growth within our parishes. I know the parishes that I serve have seen just within the last month to 2 months, we've seen a big increase in attendance at masses and at various ministry events. And we hope you're seeing that same kind of resurgence. Hopefully we've got the worst of the COVID pandemic behind us. People are getting over their reluctance and their fear of being out in public, and they're starting to come back and enjoying their faith in community, not just alone in the isolation of their home, but getting back into participating in the community of our Christian faith. So we hope you'll do that, and we hope you'll help support us so that we can continue to support you. And if we have time, if I quit talking about this, we might have time later to get into a couple questions that were asked of me over the Curcio weekend that I thought were really fascinating questions that you might enjoy as well. So we'll try and find time to get to that also. So thank you for being here on Good News. Thank you for listening to Catholic Spirit Radio. We're going to pause for just a few minutes, and then we'll be back with more good news.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
We are the Easter people. That joyful quote from Pope St. John Paul II is truly beautiful. Catholic Spirit Radio has plans to broadcast more quotes, facts, and personal stories about this holy and beloved man. Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN Radio, and I will again be the host of Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon from April 2nd through the 5th. Our focus this year is St. John Paul II, so you won't want to miss a single day of our special programming. We'll have plenty of other things to keep you entertained as well, including local and national guests, a gift for every donor, and daily drawings. Pope John Paul II reminds us that each of us are called to evangelize, and when you make a donation during the Carathon, you are helping to pay bills, update equipment, and create resources which share the good news of our faith. The Catholic Spirit Radio Network does good work for you. They are a nonprofit and definitely need your financial and prayerful help to continue broadcasting throughout Central and Northern Illinois. Spend time with us for Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon and show that you care on April 2nd through the 5th.
Catholic Spirit Radio has posted a special list of Mass times for more than 80 local churches that fulfill the one Easter obligation to attend either Holy Saturday evening or Easter morning.
Our list also includes the two optional Thursday's Last Supper Mass and Good Friday services.
Lent is a great time to consult our community calendar of parish and organization events and our year-round webpage with weekly confession times, including Lent reconciliation services.
Go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
And welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al, and we're going to be talking about the fifth Sunday of Lent coming up, well, this weekend, and the readings at Mass. Now, two sets of readings at your church. They may be doing the readings from cycle B, which is what we are currently on. That's usually from Mark in the Gospel. We're doing cycle A, and the reason we're doing a couple. One is that if you have anyone going through RCIA, they're going through the scrutinies, the last of the scrutinies this weekend, and the cycle A Gospels from John are directly tied to those scrutinies. The reason I'm doing Cycle A today is that I'm giving the homily at my churches this weekend. And so rather than have to come up with two homilies, one for you, one for church, we're just going to kind of go with what I'm going to be offering at church this weekend. So we're going to be looking at the Cycle A from John. The first reading is from Ezekiel. Paul, of course, this time of year has our second reading, and then we'll be looking at John for the gospel. Great time to come back to church as we close in on Easter. What a wonderful time to reconnect with your faith. So here we are just 2 weeks away from the Easter season, from the Easter celebration of the resurrection, and we hope that you will make this time to head back to church. So here's what you're going to hear about. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. And it says, "Thus says the Lord, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord." And there's more than one way you can take this reading. And one is Ezekiel is speaking through the Holy Spirit to the people of Israel, saying, I'm going to bring you back from your exile and bring you back to Israel and give you your Jewish life again. But we'll see from the gospel reading that this is also a prophecy of the future. In almost all cases of the Old Testament isn't just telling about what's happening at that moment, but it's foretelling what's going to happen through the ministries of Christ in the New Testament. So keep that in mind as we work our way through these readings. In the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, and this is from chapter 8 of Romans, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his spirit dwelling in you. And again, this all ties into the gospel from the first reading of the Old Testament to this reading for the New Testament, all tie into the gospel story. And this is a great story. This is probably one of the, if you were to list the top 10 most well-known stories of the Bible, this would be among them. This is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And this has so much importance to the Easter season, not only because of the resurrection, the rising of Lazarus, but this is the last straw. This is the moment where everyone not only awakens to the power and the authority of Christ Jesus, but it's also what makes the Pharisees and the scribes so incredibly fearful of Jesus. And it's at this point that they have now decided that Jesus has to go, not just be exiled, but he must die in order for a few things to happen. One, to keep it from being a Roman uprising, and also to keep the Pharisees and the scribes in power, because Jesus is making them look pretty silly. And so this is a huge moment. It's after the raising of Lazarus that the people decide they want to raise Jesus up to the level of King of the Jews. And so this is the moment we're setting up for next week for Palm Sunday, when he enters Jerusalem to cheering as if he were a conquering hero or a new member of royalty. And so this is the event that sets that up. But there's something in here that I think a lot of people miss. And I know I missed it for years as I was being raised as a young Catholic. And you hear the story of Lazarus every year, sometimes more than once. We think about, there's a number of things we think about. One is that it's a story about the resurrection. Well, that's true. We also think that it's Christ shows his humanity by crying, right? The shortest verse in scripture, Jesus wept. And that's in this gospel. And for the longest time, I thought he was crying because his friend had died. And I don't think that's the case anymore. After really studying this, what I find a word that shows up twice in this gospel, just before Jesus cries, Jesus is perturbed. Now, just to make sure, I looked up what that meant. And it doesn't mean sorrowful. Perturbed doesn't mean sad. It doesn't say he was sad and he cried. It doesn't mean apathetic. It doesn't mean he felt bad for Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, or that he felt bad for the people who had shown up to mourn. That's not what he's not sad. He's perturbed. He's irritated. He's anxious. So as we listen to this gospel, I want you to ask yourself, what is Jesus upset about? And hopefully this will clear this up as you think about it in those terms. So a reading from the gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Master, the one you love is ill. And when Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, for it is but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. And I want you to remember that portion. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let's go back to Judea. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. He said this, and then told them, Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him. So the disciples said to him, Master, if he's asleep, he'll be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death, and while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. let us go to him. So Thomas, called Didymus, said to the fellow disciples, let us also go to die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, the teacher is here and is asking for you. And as soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell to his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen what had done, began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. So much is happening in here, but to me, this is a story of trust. Trust in God. How many of us have had losses in our life where a friend or a family member has died? And we thought to ourselves, why didn't God do something? Where was God in all of this? And I know people very close to me who have left the faith because a spouse died or a child died. And they said, where was God? Mary and Martha, who have had Jesus in their home, who have listened to him preach, who have watched many of his miracles. When Lazarus was in trouble, what did they each say to Jesus? If you had been here, he would not have died. As if Jesus is responsible for this death. And what they assume is that Jesus wasn't with him. Just as we assume so many times when things go wrong in our life, where is God? And yet, Jesus was in their midst, with them at this moment, with hundreds of other people, it sounds like, and not one of them turned to Jesus and said, help me, or help Lazarus. They wept. They were so focused on their own loss that they ignored the presence of God among them. And I think we do that sometimes ourselves. We get so tied up in our own anguish that we forget not only to notice God in our presence, we forget to talk to him, to invite him in to our sorrow, to invite him in to help us out. And I think that's what perturbed Jesus. The fact that these weren't Pharisees and scribes that were surrounding him. These were people who knew him and knew about him and still did not realize who he was or what he was capable of. And so when he prayed to his father, it was a prayer of trust. I know that you'll do whatever I ask of you. And he said that so that those around him could hear those words, because none of them asked him to do anything, because they didn't fully trust who he was and trust what he was capable of doing. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus when Lazarus was ill, thinking he could only help if he was there before he died, forgetting that, as Jesus said, you don't understand, I am the life. We see this so often at funerals. I know I do as I help comfort families at graveside. The one thing we try and get across in the funeral prayers isn't the loss of the person who's passed, but the gain, what they have gained. Death is part of life. No one gets out of this alive, right? We're all going to pass away at some point. The question is, what's next? What is death a threshold to? And if you trust, and if you have faith, and if you act on that faith, what comes next is amazing. And it's nothing to be mourned over, but it's to be celebrated if you really love this person and really have helped them to live a life in Christ. What comes next is just so beautiful that we should rejoice in the fact that any trouble they had on this earth, any pain they had, any fault they had is now being washed away thanks to the resurrection of Christ. This was all done for us from the very beginning, from the moment of original sin with Adam and Eve. Everything that happens from that point on to our death is done for our good by a loving God. And so Jesus, in their midst, is trying to get them to understand this, that do not be afraid, but rather trust in Christ. And so from the moment he arrived, rather than the focus on the death of Lazarus, focus on the presence of God. And that's what we need to do this Lenten season as we enter into Easter, is don't focus on our issues. We all have problems. We all have things in our lives that we wish were different, whether it's our health or our finances or our relationships. But rather than focus on that, focus on the presence of Christ in our life, and Christ will bring a new life to you, guaranteed. We're heading into Easter next week. We'll be celebrating Palm Sunday, and I look forward to entering this Feast of the Resurrection with you. May Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.